Welcome to this edition of Haldane's Law Matters. And today we have an in-house guest, actually, the rising ALB Rising Star of the Year, Tim Wan. Thank you, I thought you'd forgotten. Tim, welcome to this podcast, and let's have a conversation. And our guest is an in-house celebrity today, Timothy Wan. Welcome.
Hi everybody. Hi, Jonathan.
So Timothy, by way of an introduction, joined us in what year, Tim?
A trainee solicitor is 2013.
And your maths is good. How long ago is that?
10 years.
10 years. So you've done a 10-year stint at Haldane's. And we wanted to invite you today for a number of reasons. And one is that you're ALB Rising Star of the Year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I together with two other colleagues, Christina and Sania, this year, the firm has encouraged us to participate in different awards and different competition. And I'm glad that I was together with Christina and Sania, the three of us received this award for the ALB Rising Star of the Year, probably to recognize our hard work and also the reputation of our respective practice areas.
And your practice areas with me, of course.
You're
a criminal defence lawyer.
Yes.
And if we go back in time, 10 years ago, you joined as a trainee.
Yes.
Now, I was going to make my first contrast, because when I was a trainee, we were called article clerks.
Yes.
And in those days, I don't recall that we were paid anything. Did we pay you something?
Yes. I receive a salary.
That's very generous of us.
Yeah.
So there have been many changes. If I think back to where I did my articles, which was in Leeds in England, and then my start in Hong Kong in 1978, and your start in 2008. Tell us a little bit about what you feel the law has meant to you and how it's evolved. Because I ask this because I suspect that quite a lot of people who listen in are actually people that might be considering entering the law. So tell them a little bit, if you will, about that.
When I first started as a trainee solicitor at Haldane's, the law is obviously quite different from now.
Example of that?
Yeah, back in those days, so-called email scams, online scams, and the use of smartphones. Smartphones were not even invented back in those days.
No.
But now, at present, the cases that we deal with every day, a lot of them involves computers, smartphones, and this also has an implication of the evidence in different criminal cases.
So that's one of the biggest changes, isn't it? Not only in law, of course, but in life generally.
In life generally, yes, correct.
When you were saying that, I was just thinking back when I actually joined Haldane's in 1978, they hadn't invented the fax machine, never mind the smartphone.
Yes.
And photocopiers used to wave in the wind. And they turned yellow. The photocopy turned yellow, and about a month later, you take a look at it, and there was nothing left on the piece of paper. So things have certainly changed, and even in your 10 years, you've seen changes within the Hong Kong legal system.
Yes.
And for the better, by the way, or not?
For the better, yeah.
How has it improved it in your regard?
I think for the legal system, it's more effective now. It's more efficient.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And compared to back in 10 years ago, it was the use of technology was not that common back then. But for example, in civil cases now, we have a remote hearing. And recently, I think the LegCo is debating about the use of remote hearing in criminal cases.
What would that amount to, a remote hearing?
By not requiring a defendant to turn up in court. On some exception, for example, trials, first mention hearing, bail application.
The defendant doesn't need to be in court.
Doesn't need to be in court if all parties agree.
Sounds very, very.
I think
avant-garde.
It's for simple mention, just a German application matters like this. So the court will be less packed because due to the experience we all have encountered during COVID, court has to be suspended.
I see. Let's go back in time. Let's go back to when you were a lawyer, you know, before your training. What attracted you into the law? What was it about your adolescence, I suppose, that made you decide to become a solicitor?
I did my first degree in Hong Kong. the first degree is called Policy Studies and Administration.
Yeah.
And in that degree, I came across different topics. And one of the topics that really I'm really interested in has some law elements. So after I finished my first year at that of that degree, in my second year, I went to the University of Warwick as an exchange student.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've decided, oh, I think I want to do a law degree abroad. After I finished my first degree, I applied and I got into Warwick. This is how I started my law degree.
But what attracted you? Why law? Why not a doctor or an accountant or a restaurateur or something?
Contrary to many other people, I think law is fun. And it's the argument that people, you can see things in different perspectives and see who argues better.
Right. You like being argumentative.
I think it's because I was an athlete in the past. I represented Hong Kong on a few occasions.
Ah.
I was a 400 meter sprinter.
Okay.
I think the elements of sports, it's comparable, it's equivalent to the elements of law. We go to court, of course we want to win, but even though if we don't win, we got what we want. So it's similar.
It's an adversarial system we run.
Yes.
Winner takes all.
Yes.
Okay, so you have a competitive streak and that showed up in your sporting youth, and it somehow morphed into the idea that I'd like to be a solicitor.
Yes. And
did you discuss it with your parents?
No. My parents let me choose whatever I want to do.
I see.
Not sure if it is the right decision.
Were they pleased?
I think they're pleased, but they don't talk about it.
Really? Okay.
I think they are.
Yes, I'm sure they were. And I'm sure that they're pleased with you today and seeing you take the ALB Rising Star Award, for example.
And the news coverage that I sometimes was on the news for winning cases, representing this client in court. Yeah.
Yeah, you and your parents get a kick out of that, huh? Okay. All right. So what's it like being, I mean, Haldanes is actually quite well known, of course, as you know, for criminal defence work. And what is it like being in a firm that's got a really quite large, the largest in Hong Kong, I think, by quite a long way, criminal defence department? Is it a lonely job that you sort of furrow your path into court on your own, or is there a collegiate element to it?
It's a collegiate element, and I think when I first joined, I actually first went to Haldanes, or joined Haldanes, I was a summer intern.
Yes.
Back in 2009, I think.
Somebody must have been impressed by you, Tim. Yeah. Huh?
And it remains the same. I remember seeing you in the office, a senior partner of the firm. If I have any questions, I have any doubts, something I don't understand, I just knock your door. Your secretary obviously said, okay, please come in and I can discuss with you face to face. 2009 and now 2023, it's still the same. So I think one of the things that attracts me to stay in this firm or to apply to be a trainee and to stay until now I become a partner.
Yes.
It's the less bureaucratic in this firm compared with, I know some firms that are very, I would say, bureaucratic, and it's not very, the partners are not too approachable.
I see. I'm glad to hear we're approachable. That sounds good. Actually, I recall somebody saying, it may have been you, that working in the criminal division of Haldanes was a bit like playing for Barcelona, with everybody running and supporting each other and scoring goals. Was it you that said that or somebody else?
No, because I'm not a fan of Barcelona.
You'd have said Real Madrid, would you?
I'm more fans of the English Premier League.
I see.
I will not tell you which teams, because I'm sure you know.
Yeah, I hope it's Leeds. I think it's probably not.
Yeah.
So would you encourage, I think you're a father of a son, aren't you?
Yeah, I have two sons. Yeah.
Two sons. Would you encourage them to be a lawyer?
It's really up to them what career path they want to choose. But I can tell them, even though if they don't want to be a lawyer, but studying a law degree would definitely benefit them.
Yes. It's the key to many doors, isn't it?
Yes. And it's the training, the critical training, critical thinking training in the law degree that matters.
Mm. And you were born in Hong Kong, of course.
Yes.
Your parents are from Hong Kong.
Yes.
Did you ever consider practicing law in another jurisdiction?
No.
Not at all?
No. Hong Kong is my home, and my family is here, my friends are here, all the clients are here, connections are here, so it's a bit hard for me to consider working in other jurisdictions.
And there's a nice lack of bureaucracy within the system here, I think, compared with some other jurisdictions. I mean, we don't have, for example, quite the same taxation system that we have in England, where you've got a value-added tax and
yes.
all sorts of bureaucratic complications. It's quite a simple process in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
And that's what attracted me, certainly.
And I love my job, and I love working here. So,
you and I together, too.
Yeah. Going back to why you asked me about the firm, I want to add a bit. It's the freedom the firm gives me. I always tell people this thing. In Haldane's, I have the opportunity to work on a very big scale commercial crime case that involves senior counsels, now King's Counsel,
yes.
Two or three partners, and also junior barristers, like a team. Mm. We have trainee solicitors, paralegal. Mm. We play a part, important part, in a big, complex commercial crime case that lasts 30, 40 odd days. The preparation can be as long as 2 years. But on the other hand, I also can do something that I can handle it myself. I'm tasked with going to court myself, doing a mitigation, doing a mini trial myself. So it's a mixture of big and small cases that attracts me. And the partners, basically, I've never received any complaints, I hope I'm right, from other partners saying about my job.
So, yeah, I mean, court, I know you're in and out of court the whole time. You were in court this morning, weren't you?
Yes.
Which court were you?
Cowan City.
So, court, being in court is like being in a second home, I suspect, isn't it?
Yes. I go to court 3-4 days a week.
Yes. Are you satisfied with the way in which the court system works at the moment? I don't want to get into too many controversial areas, but generally speaking, do you feel that our court system is operating as it should?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable with the system.
Yes. Have you got to the stage where you know most of the magistrates?
I don't think I should comment on that.
I don't mean
but
in and out
yes,
of court, you know.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, you know who you're in front of and how to adjust
yes.
to their style.
Yes.
Because that's an important part of being an advocate, isn't it?
Yes. This is, I think, one of the most important part of the advocate. The materials are all the same.
Yes.
The backgrounds, the character reference letters, the circumstances of the case is how you present it.
Yes.
And of course, you are the master in presenting a case.
Well, you have to be the master if you're an advocate, and you have to understand your audience. It's a bit like an actor, isn't it?
Yes.
You know what sort of an audience you've got in Glasgow versus London, for example, and you tailor it
yes.
to the type of magistrate that you're before.
Yes.
And that can be fascinating, I think.
Yes. It's challenging. It makes me nervous, but the most important thing that keeps me going is the smile I get from a client after the hearing and the very hard handshake,
for example, this morning. And you've won.
Yes, or I achieved something that clients hopes to achieve.
What about, I mean, all of us lose occasionally. We hope not too often, and our stats are great. I know that, over the years. But occasionally, of course, as I've said to many clients, you know, we're lawyers, not magicians.
Yes, I remember that.
And we can't always wave a magic wand. But assuming you lose, what's the feeling? Tell potential young audience out there who are thinking of becoming criminal defence lawyers, how do you deal with losing and the tears and the anxiety for not only the defendant often, but the family?
Well, of course, you have to analyse the reason for losing. If we think there are grounds, of course we can consider appealing,
mm-hmm.
but if to consider emotional side, it's like any other things in life in general. You just have to deal with it.
Yes. I mean, and it can be difficult, can't it?
It can be difficult, and
yeah.
our job is sometimes to provide emotional support and comfort
yes.
to the family.
We're sometimes sort of lawyer come psychologists, aren't we? Trying
yes.
to sort of.
And it can be frightening if a person has to go to prison. And the family doesn't know what to do or where to go, which number I should call, what sort of materials I can give it to him, how often can I see him or her, yeah.
So that's the nitty-gritty side of it, isn't it? And
yes, and I think those are very important, especially to not only the client, but to their family and friends.
And I don't know if you found this as an experience, Tim. Over the years, I found there are two really contrasting type of client where they do end up in prison. Some of them treat it, as one famously said, I won't obviously name the person, but he said it's a bit like going back to boarding school.
Yes.
I got 4 years in boarding school and I've got 4 years in prison. It's the same. It can get boring, but we're okay and we're safe.
Yeah.
And others are constantly railing against their sentence. It's unfair, it's not right, and they're sort of banging their head, metaphorically at least, on the door of the prison and saying, get me out. Have you experienced those two extremes?
Yes.
In personality and the way of dealing with incarceration?
Yeah, I do. I've experienced both types of clients. But as time goes by, when you're in it, when you're in there, you have to adopt to a very different lifestyle.
Yes.
In my experience, after a while, you just get used to it.
Yeah.
It's a very disciplined lifestyle that you're safe in there.
It's part of the sort of Stockholm syndrome, isn't it? They sort of take on the mantle of their position as detainees. I remember another quote. I don't know if this resonates with you. When a quite famous person who was in Stanley for a short while actually. But nevertheless was in Stanley. And they said, I think of it this way. I will get out in due course, but I see the guard looking in through the same bars as I'm looking out, and they've got careers in here.
Yes.
Which I thought was quite an interesting psychological way of dealing with your own moment or two in jail. Do you have a sense of trying to save people as a criminal defence lawyer?
Yes, I think I'll put it this way. I think some people... Most people deserve a second chance.
Yes.
Our job is to best present their case so that a just and fair outcome can be achieved.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, if I can just swap anecdotal thoughts for a moment, I've got a swimming pool in my home in Spain, and I recognize that I spend a fair amount of time fishing out insects that have fallen into the pool to save them. And it occurred to me when I was doing that once that it's a bit like the work we do. We're constantly trying to fish out people from the mess, from the quagmire they've found themselves in when they're facing criminal litigation.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of people, they're not familiar with the system.
No.
They just don't know what to do.
No, it's a shock, complete shock to them.
So,
unless they're old lags, of course, that are in and out.
Yes.
There are two types, aren't there?
Yes.
I mean, you get the people that they're professional criminals. In the old days, not so much now, but you used to have professional pickpocketers.
Yes.
We had them time and time again. And then otherwise, you've got someone that's led a blameless life, they make a mistake, they're caught.
And they don't know what to do.
And they're in total panic.
And our job is to... A mission, I'll put it, not only a job, is a mission to help them to learn about the system and to see what we can do to help them to resolve their issues.
Yeah, and that's where I think the satisfaction comes for you.
Yes.
It does for me. And I think, really, I think you'll agree that for most of our colleagues in this department. Tim, thank you for joining Law Matters today. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I get to talk to you regularly, of course, but in this context, it's been great fun just swapping some ideas.
Yes.
And I hope that people listening will enjoy the programme. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for your time, Jonathan. Thank you.